Fighting for freedom every day. Broadcasting from the heartland of America.
The next generation in conservative talk radio.
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Hey, welcome into it. Happy post-Monday for a Tuesday celebration. Greatest day of the entire week. So wonderful to have you along for the ride. And boy, do we have a lot to get to today going into. I know, I get it. It's a holiday. We have Memorial Weekend coming up right around the corner. You're going into vacay mode. It's already warm outside. You're ready to start planning all the festive holidays and get-togethers and barbecues and lake stuff and everything of the sort. So don't you worry, my friends. We'll get you all set up and geared ready for that one. So great to have you with us. As always, this is The Voice Reason. I am Andy Hoosier, broadcasting live out of the heart of the nation here in Wichita, Kansas, on our flagship radio station. We are all over the country, multiple radio stations and TV, live streaming, podcasting, however you watch or listen to the show. Your Millennial General, reporting for duty like we do every single day. All right, we got a big show lined up for you. I am having some fun phone technical issues. We were going to have Jennifer Barbosa on the program right out of the gate. She is a candidate for the 15th Congressional District for the state of Florida, as we are challenging some of the Democrats and moderate Republicans in the state going into general election and primary election mode. So we'll try and get her on the program here momentarily if we can get our phones to work. I mean, bottom of the hour, we do have Bill Donahue on the program. He is author of the book, A Culture Meltdown, as we talk about the moral crisis in the nation. First and foremost, before we go anywhere else, I was not live yesterday, and I apologize for that and appreciate the patience very much. We had, for those that live outside of the Kansas area, we had some major storms roll through on Sunday across the area, and we at the house, we had some pretty wild storms coming. Now, it wasn't technically a tornado, but it was some 90-plus mile-an-hour winds. No hail, but it was some really heavy rains, and it destroyed a whole bunch of trees. Now, first and foremost, in the entire community that I live in, no one was injured that I know of, which is great news. There was some damage to some areas, but luckily for our house damage, no car damage. We did have some trees that obviously got tore up pretty bad. An entire chain-link fence just got bent over completely and laid down, so got to get that fixed. But outside of that, everything else was fine. Little Voice of Reason's trampoline did get destroyed a little bit, or at least the netting around it got pretty banged up. So outside of that, we're counting our blessings and the fact that there was no one injured and not a lot of damage going on. Now, a couple neighbors down, they unfortunately did have some damage, as apparently a tree fell onto a car and shattered their front window of their home. They also had some other issues. The neighbor next door to them, they had a tree actually go through the roof of their home. So there was some damage. Thoughts and prayers out to them. We've been helping them try and clean some things up in the neighborhood. But outside of that, everything back up and at it. So I had to spend the day yesterday actually cleaning up all the debris. And I posted the video, if you follow me on social media on Facebook, I posted the video of all the brush and all the stuff that we had to clean up and get to the side of the road, so that way the city can come and clean up some of that stuff. So that was our project yesterday. Wasn't able to make it in for that, but nonetheless, we're back at it, ready to rock and roll for the day today, like we do every day, right? Joe Biden, how you doing, buddy?
I want to be clear, I'm not going nuts.
All right, that being said, there is a lot to talk about going into the holidays. I know that you're trying to go into holiday mode again, but that doesn't mean that politics slows down at all. In fact, this is when they really like to ramp things up and try and speed things through, so that way they can cram as much down your throat as possible. First and foremost, let's get into what's trending with overseas shenanigans, shall we?
What's trending today?
Now, if you missed our syndicated program from over the weekend, we had on Aria Lightstone. He is over in Israel. He was the former senior advisor to the Israeli ambassador for the United States. Under the Trump administration, he helped form the Abraham Accords, and he wrote his book, Let My People Know. We got an update from him in Israel on what's going on with all the shenanigans right now with the ongoing conflict with Israel, Hamas, and Iran, and so on and so forth. Now, obviously, the big news that was happened as of Sunday evening was that the president of Iran ended up going down in a helicopter and ended up passing away. I have not heard a whole lot of people actually mourning that one, even the people in Iran that called him a crazy wild dictator and tyrant. So people celebrating might throw the country into chaos a little bit, but what it might do is distract them from actually attacking Israel for a short time, which I think people are pretty much okay with right now. At the same time, we need to get our heads on straight here in the United States and figure out exactly what we stand for, figure out exactly how we're going to handle this conflict in the Middle East that doesn't seem to be going away. And in fact, now we have the United Nations and the global government trying to tell Israel what to do. And apparently the international courts trying to put out an arrest warrant for Bibi Netanyahu because of his approach to warfare against Hamas and the Palestinian government, which I find kind of intriguing. And in fact, they tried to use that on The View earlier today. If you watch The View, if you do, then I feel bad for you because I don't. But Bill Maher was on there earlier today talking about the issue where Sonny tried to go after him. Well, look at, I mean, don't the Palestinian lives actually matter too? What the hell's wrong with you? And this is what he had to say.
Are you at all concerned about the innocent civilians that have been collectively punished and murdered, largely children and women?
Of course.
And are you at all concerned about the fact that the International Criminal Court just today issued a subpoena for Bibi Netanyahu?
Well, that's ridiculous, but it's a war.
Why?
It's a war. Because it's a war, and they were attacked, and they're defending themselves. Now, this is a war. Do you think Hamas needs to be destroyed? This is the question.
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
No. So how can we get out with a ceasefire?
All right. So Hamas needs to be destroyed because they are a terrorist organization who say openly that they want to commit genocide on the Jewish people, on the state of Israel. That's what from the river to the sea means. Okay? And they say it very openly. They said, we did this attack. They've attacked Israel five times. They've started five wars since they were given that land back. They could have chosen to turn that place into any place they wanted to, and they took a lot of money that they took from the international community, and they spent it on bombs and guns and building tunnels. So if they need to be destroyed, how do we do that? It's a war. I don't know how to do that, and you don't know how to do that. I assume the Israeli... Of course everybody is, but that's what happens in a war. Here's a way to stop that. Stop attacking Israel.
Wow, there it is. All right, so that audio from Fox News. I've said this before, when did Bill Maher become the one that has a little bit of common sense to him? Obviously, he's still a progressive Democrat. Don't agree with, obviously, everything that he says, but he's a traditional Democrat, and he's starting to put the progressives that have gone so far to the left in their place, and it's kind of ironic and interesting. And he brings up a really, really great point that no one on the other side seems to talk about, which is the fact that if you don't want Palestinian lives to be in jeopardy from a terrorist organization like Hamas that's using the Palestinian people, the women and children, as shields while this ongoing conflict with Israel is happening, that maybe you should stop attacking Israel for them to want to defend their nation and actually end the enemy that's calling for the decimation of Jews in the Israeli state. I know it's a wild concept, but by golly, like, that's kind of common sense nowadays, isn't it? So what's going on now? Now we have this movement, apparently, from the ICC that is putting on sanctions, this International Criminal Court that's putting on sanctions and putting out an arrest warrant for Bibi Netanyahu because of crimes against humanity that he's doing against the Palestinian people, which obviously is not true. It's almost laughable that we're even talking about this, but this is how far that our global government, this United Nations, this governmental body that thinks they're keeping peace in the world, this is their response to a terrorist organization wanting the decimation of Jews. It almost seems like after the United Nations set in place the nation for Israel and gave them a place after World War II and said this is never going to happen again, we're now going after the Jewish state for defending themselves because people don't abide by those laws. They're continuously starting conflicts. And now the same organization that created the nation of Israel for the defense and protection of the Jewish community, they're now going after the Jewish community for stopping a terrorist organization. And this global government is not stopping the terrorists that want the decimation of the Jewish nation. Funny how that works. I had mentioned yesterday, and I was a guest on Armed American Radio briefly, about our own agencies here in the United States and how our own agencies have essentially done the same thing. For example, the ATF, which is what we talked about, this organization that was set to help the gun industry, help gun manufacturing, help gun sales, help gun distribution, help gun stores across the nation be able to have the right permits, do the right thing, and allow them to do what they need to do, has turned in an organization originally created to help them, which shouldn't have been created in the first place, but an organization or a group that's supposed to help them has now been turned against them as a weaponization to try and shut them down. How the corruption has continued through these certain groups and organizations, which is just human nature. It's just the evolution of these. When you give government power, then government will find a way to corrupt it and use it against you, which is why giving government any type of power is bad. Even when progressives are like, it's going to help us, we know it's not going to help us, and it's actually going to go in the opposite direction. Point in case with the ATF, and point in case here at the global side with the nation of Israel and the international criminal courts that are going after them. And in fact, Tom Emmer, our elected officials here in the U.S. are not very happy about this
You know, it's outrageous to try to equate terrorists with a people that literally thousands were brutally raped, murdered, people taken hostage. It's outrageous that they would take this position. And I, for one, believe that it's time, even though we don't fund them, other allies are busy funding a terrorist-friendly international court. It's time for them to defund them and renounce the pro-terrorist
and of
court.
Course,
that's not going to happen, but that's a good thought. That, by the way, that audio from Newsmax. Here's when you know you've crossed the line a little bit too far. And when you've gone a little bit further than what you should have, progressive Democrats and international courts and United Nations and global government and everybody trying to oppress everybody else, you know you've gone too far when even Democrats, which this could be kind of a political statement, this could be an election statement, I'm not quite sure yet, but when even Chuck Schumer comes out and vehemently opposes what the courts are doing.
The ICC prosecutor's decision seeking arrest warrants for Israeli leaders alongside Hamas terrorists is not only profoundly unfair, but it is reprehensible. As disappointing as the ICC's decision is, it comes as no surprise, because for decades and decades, the ICC has shown it harbors deep biases against Israel. This decision, suggesting an equivalency between Israel and Hamas, is another glaring example of that bias against Israel. As I have said many times, there has never been and there can never be any equivalence between Israel's right to defend itself against terror and Hamas's barbarity. The ICC's decision seeking warrants against Israeli leaders is not only shameful, but also fails to follow protocol and process in a country where it has zero jurisdiction. I fiercely oppose the ICC's decision, and I will work with President Biden and members on all sides to keep support for Israel strong and unwavering.
Well, now you know that you've crossed the line when even a progressive Democrat's going against that. Now, here's the interesting part about Chuck Schumer is, as you know, he's Jewish himself and self-proclaims to be that way. He stood out there and supported Israel during the big rallies that happened about a year ago with this conflict. And then all of a sudden he turned around and he was calling for the removal of Benjamin Netanyahu from office because of the quote-unquote human rights crises that they've caused during this conflict by invading into certain portions of Gaza and the Gaza Strip and trying to go after Hamas and all these individual lives, these innocent lives of women and children that they say have been harmed because of Israel's attack. So he supports Israel, and then he backs off of that and calls for the removal of Bibi Netanyahu, and then he goes after the international courts when they say that they're going to remove Benjamin Netanyahu and arrest him because of the war crimes that he's committing. Where do you stand, man? Take a stance and defend it and stick with it for once, will you?
This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. This is the Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
I know that Democrats like to do the flip-floppy kind of thing. That's just what they do. They're really good at it, and we need to be aware of that because whatever's appeasing during election time is what they're going to say to try and win as many votes as they can, especially in election season right now when they're losing drastically on all the election demographics possibly that they could see from the younger vote to the to the identity politics vote, to the women vote, to whatever. They're losing them left and right, so they have to find a way desperately to win them back over. And they realize that while there's a very loud, vocal minority of individuals for the pro-Palestinian decimation of Jews, that, by the way, that message has been taken way too far. And they've gone way too far with that message, wanting to actually support a terrorist organization and calling for the ending of Israel. The Democrats tried to go down that road for a while, because obviously they go along with the very loud vocal minority, which whoever's yelling at them the loudest, they go along with that. And then they realize that while they may be loud, they're not necessarily the largest number. So now they're stuck in the quandary. Do we go along with them, which is the younger vote? Do we go along with the Jewish individuals? But then we're losing the Muslim vote, which is throwing states in swing like Michigan and like Minnesota that are now up in the air for the election with Donald Trump gaining traction, which is why Donald Trump's going everywhere he can in Democrat districts. I mean, this Thursday, for crying out loud, he's going to be doing a rally in the Bronx, a very deep blue area, to show them, hey, that no territory is off limits for Donald Trump and for the Republicans to gain ground and potentially win this election and flip some very major areas. So the Democrats are in the panic. In the panic, by the way, to the level that will Kamala Harris potentially be the replacement to fill in for Joe Biden, who couldn't run for this election? That would be... There's actually a story on that, and it's hilarious. We'll get to that a little bit later on the program if we have some time. But they're in the panic, so now they're starting to go back to their roots. Oh, we totally support Israel. We totally want them. This is after, by the way, they held much of the resources, the weapons that we were going to send to them. They held them and said they weren't going to send them because, well, we didn't want you to invade Rafah. We didn't want you to look at all the casualties. Look at all the innocent lives being lost. We're going to hold on to this because we want you to do a ceasefire and stop invading and invading to destroy this terrorist organization. So we're withholding resources to them, straining our relationship with Israel. But yet now they're starting to rein back and be like, well, we totally call out this International Criminal Court for trying to go after Netanyahu for what he's doing, because we stand with Israel and we stand with Benjamin Netanyahu. We may have called for him to be removed from office for a special election like 3 weeks ago, but now we stand with him. Do you sense the hypocrisy here? Is it hypocrisy because they don't know where they stand? Is it because of an election thing? Are they trying to win over the voters? Like, what are they doing? And maybe they didn't do enough research prior to, but it seems to me like they're now finally starting to look at this polls, look at the surveys, and look at where the majority of Americans stand on this issue, which by far the majority of Americans stand with Israel and stand with the Jewish community. It's very simple. Andy, what does this all have to do with foreign policy here in the United States? Well, it has everything to do with election time and how they're going to start campaigning. Because I've told you before, from now, from this point on until election day, everything done and everything said is for a soundbite for them on the campaign trail to show where they stand on issues. And right now, the Democrats don't have a platform. And if you're a Democrat, prove me wrong. Email me, HoosierMediaNetwork@gmail.com. Prove me wrong on this one. But right now, you're waffling in the air with very little morals and values, very little platform, or very little foundational belief of what you actually stand for, because you're kind of all over the place. And we see it. We're watching you. I know that we have short-term memories in politics. I know that we forget things quite often, and the next big disaster, the next big emergency, the next big shooting, the next big whatever that's going to hit the headlines, or the media is going to focus on it 24/7 with all their talking heads. I know that's going to distract us from the issue, but you can't take away the fact that you've wanted to stand with Israel, then you backed off on standing with Israel, now you're trying to stand with Israel again. We see it. We're watching it. We're paying attention to it, and we're kind of laughing at you just a little bit. All right, Bill Donahue coming up right around the corner. We'll talk about the moral crisis in the nation. Is this part of that? That and so much more here for a Tuesday. Stay here on The Voice of Reason.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. When Reason Meets Radio, this is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Yes, indeed it is. What's up? Welcome into it. So great to have you with us here for a post-Monday celebration. Funny how things work out. Live radio, man, I got to tell you. Everything all falls into place the way it's supposed to. So wonderful here to have you. We are going into Memorial Weekend. which means I know you're already like half zoned out, but election season's gearing up, which means now's the time for us to be active. I love it because this is the time where I start getting the feel goods to want to go out, start knocking on doors and campaigning and getting ready for the big summertime. Because depending on what state you're in, fill in the blank all over and the numerous states that we're broadcasting in right now, that your primaries are coming up soon. Your general election candidates are coming up soon. You'll start seeing yard signs. You'll start seeing the ads and talking to all the candidates, which is my favorite time of the year when we get to talk to candidates left and right, which gets into our latest and what's trending.
What's trending today?
By the way, we'll get back to the foreign policy issues and the lack of platform the Democrats have here momentarily, but really happy to have on the program as we go down to the great state of Florida. I love what Florida's doing for the most part as the battle continues both at the statewide and congressional levels there, with some new candidates jumping on board for the 15th congressional district in the state of Florida. Really happy to have on the program here candidate for that 15th district, Jennifer Barbosa. Jennifer, how are you today?
Great. Happy to be on. Thank you.
Yeah, so great to have you on the program. First off, congratulations on the announcement for the race. For those that don't know and that may not live in the area, talk about where the 15th district is in the state of Florida.
Okay, the 15th congressional district doesn't have a lot of major cities that a lot of people have heard of. It includes a sliver of Tampa, not most of Tampa, but that's the biggest city here, and it goes all the way over into central Florida towards Lakeland. However, our president, President Trump, shined a bright light on our district back on March 24th of this year. On his Truth Social, he posted a very specific message about this district and this our current representative. He said, "Will some great America First Republican please run against Laurel Lee in Florida's 15th congressional district? Please step forward," in all capital letters.
And you have risen to that challenge.
Yes, I have.
I love it. What's been the response so far? Have you gotten a response from former President Donald Trump on this race?
I have not gotten a response from President Donald Trump on this race. He has not endorsed in this race first, but I'm really working towards that. That would really put this race into play. I'm running against an incumbent. Her name is Laurel Lee. She's only been there for about 2 years. She ran as very America First and then flaked once she got there. She's been flip-flopping ever since, a lot of times voting with the Democrats. Yeah. So she's not entrenched the way, say, Lindsey Graham is or Mitch McConnell. So and she's only been here, you know, a few years. She reneged on her campaign promises very quickly. And with Donald Trump's endorsement, if we could get that, she's very vulnerable, and it's very possible we can take this seat and really add another person like me to the Freedom Caucus, MAGA Caucus up there in D.C.
Yeah, amen to that. It would be easier, like you said, with someone who doesn't have maybe the decades of a name recognition where people just nonchalantly vote for him because they recognize the name because they've been there for years. So it's very possible to do so. Talk about your background, though. Talk about what led you up to this point to jump in this race.
Well, exactly. It's not as hard to overturn somebody who's only been here for a few years. And I've been knocking on doors. That's what you mentioned, knocking on doors. You like knocking on doors. That really surprised me. I've never met somebody who wasn't a candidate who actually likes doing it, because it's hard to find people to do that. It's really hard work.
Yeah.
But I do a lot of knocking on doors, knocked on a few hundred just this week. And when I go door to door, and I talk to people, I'm focusing specifically on Republicans who are primary voters. So when I talk to them, I ask them, "Do you know who our congressional representative is?" 9 out of 10 do not even know who she is. They Wow. don't know who she is. And those who do don't like her, and they're open to somebody new.
It sounds like there's a major opportunity there, because, I mean, if she's not out and knocking on doors and being in front of the public as an elected official and no one even knows who she is, that's a cause for concern, not just for the election for her, but for just in general when people don't know who their elected official is in the area, with a lack of town halls or a lack of messaging coming out to the area, that leaves a prime opportunity for you to jump in and do something about that.
Exactly. She did one town hall a couple weeks ago, but it was like a video town hall with prefabricated questions. So there's, yeah, great opportunity.
Yeah, the pre-screen question, that doesn't really help out a whole lot either. We're talking with Jennifer Barbosa, candidate for the 15th Congressional District in the state of Florida. Talk about the agenda. Obviously, the America First, the pro-Donald Trump movement. But talk about your platform. What would you like to focus on primarily if you get up to Congress?
Well, you're right. I've gone to a lot of Republican meetings, especially, and there are lots of candidates there talking about their platform. And we hear, of course, America first, border security, law and order. And I'll be honest with you, it gets a little tedious and boring after a while because all the speeches, they start to sound very similar. So what I'm telling people to differentiate my campaign from other campaigns is three main points. I'm the type of Republican. You want to know what kind of Republican you're voting for. You already know you're voting Republican. What kind are you going to get, right? I'm the kind of Republican who believes that 2020 was stolen, January 6th was a setup, and COVID was a scam. And in terms of the Republican Party, those are some kind of extreme statements to make still for some people. Other people are really looking for somebody with the gusto to go up to Washington, D.C. and say that. Now, in 2024, it's not as difficult to say those three things as it was in 2020 when there was tremendous backlash and, you know, you'd be called a anti-science or
radical conspiracy theorist you.
Right. So I'm on record supporting those issues since way back in 2020 and 2021 when they first occurred. And I think it's really important to point that out to voters so they know they're voting for somebody who's not just saying what's cool right now, but was saying it in 2020 when it was very uncool and when I was willing to get banned and blocked and shadow banned and fired and all those things for saying it. And all those things did happen to me as well. So I want an advocate up there in D.C.
Absolutely. What can we do about some of those issues? For example, let's talk about the election of 2020. What can be done for preventative measures to try and make sure something like that does not happen again?
Well, here in Florida, as in many other states, when people are here illegally, they're making it legal for them to get a driver's license. And unfortunately, when you get a driver's license, then it's easier to register to vote. So we have to stop the flow of illegal immigration, and we have to push back on these laws that are encroaching on election integrity bit by bit. They just add it bit by bit by bit. They don't tell you that the next step after letting them in is giving them a driver's license. They don't tell you that the next step after that is registering them to vote. So we have to nip it in the bud, and we have to educate voters so that they know what they're voting for when they vote for open borders. You know, my parents, they're here in Florida also. They vote Democrat now. They've been voting. They're big watchers of CNN and MSNBC, and they'll look me in the eye and they'll mean it. They'll say they don't support illegal immigration or illegal immigrants voting, but they don't realize that that's what they're actually voting for. So we have to let voters know what they're actually voting for when they support those stances.
I like it. The education of it. Reaching out to different communities that normally don't hear about Republican values. We hear about Trump that's wanting to go to the Bronx later on this week and actually campaign in a deep blue district. He campaigned on it last time, too, saying, what have you got to lose? Let's go into areas that predominantly vote Democrat. And so you've done it for the last 60, 70 years. Why not try something different? Because obviously this hasn't worked. Do you think that's necessary with the Republican votes, with different districts of yours included, of reaching out to communities that normally don't hear about these Republican values because they don't know what we stand for and don't understand what the other side's voting for either or what they're doing, but they just kind of blindly go along with it?
Absolutely. We have to do that outreach because the Democrats are doing that outreach to try to steal people from our side. So if we don't do that, then we're losing. And there are other issues that we can campaign on. I mean, there are some Jewish people who have voted Democrat religiously for quite some time, but they're disappointed with the way that Biden has kind of flip-flopped on his support of Israel. And that's a great opening for the Republican Party since the Republican Party is traditionally more supportive of Israel.
Yeah, that is very true. We just read the story the last little bit ago of Chuck Schumer that's now defending Benjamin Netanyahu against the international criminal courts that want to arrest him. That's after a couple weeks ago where Chuck Schumer said that we should do a special election to remove Benjamin Netanyahu because of the crimes that he's committing. I don't know that they have a solid platform on what they stand on with Israel right now, do they?
No, they don't. And it's really disappointing. But we Republicans do, and it's a great opening for us to help win more votes. Win the election.
Yeah, I love it. We got just about a minute or so left here, Jennifer, and I appreciate your time very much. But talk about your district. Is it a slightly right-leaning, slightly blue-leaning district?
Oh, yes.
And how are people responding when you talk to them?
It is a big, beautiful, bright red district. So the Republican has the advantage here. People are responding fabulously. Like I said, I've knocked on hundreds of doors, and they are so happy to have a candidate come to their door.
Good.
And it's really a great positive response that I'm getting. I'm very optimistic.
That is great. Are you hearing, what's the major issue that you've heard when you talk to them? Is it immigration? Is it the election issue?
Yes.
Is it just trying to get Joe Biden out? What's been the topic?
Well, yeah, I was about to say border security, but you're right. There are a lot of people who just want Joe Biden out because across the board, he's just, you know, scary. So, yeah, border security and what you said, just get Joe Biden out. Just get somebody in there that we could trust a little more.
Just get Joe Biden out. Let's get a Republican dominance in the House and the Senate. Let's get a Republican presidency. Let's start making some stuff happen. It's Jennifer Barbosa. You can find her on the Tweety at Team Jen Barbosa on the Tweety and her other social media as well. Good luck on the campaign trail, Jennifer. I love it. Let's get you back on and talk again real soon.
Thank you very much, Andy. Have a good day.
Absolutely. You as well. Again, the 15th Congressional District there in the state of Florida. Great stuff going on. If we can get some more Republicans, some more MAGA first, some more Trump supporters, and ones that actually like legitimately stand for it, then I think we're going to be in good shape, because I don't want to see a repeat of 2016 when the Republicans were the ones that ended up fighting against our own agenda. We got one more segment right around the corner. We'll break some of that down, what the latest is around the nation as well. It's a Tuesday, the post-Monday celebration here on The Voice of Reason. Stay here.
This is The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier. Fighting for freedom every day. The Voice of Reason with Andy Hoosier.
Hey, darn right it is. Welcome back into it. Got a couple minutes left here. Thanks to Jennifer Barbosa coming on the show. Candidate for the 15th Congressional District for the state of Florida. Good luck to her on the campaign trail. Can you imagine if we had a Republican Party that actually supported the Trump movement, which it sounds like we do more so than at least back then when we had Jeff Flake, we had, who was it? I mean, ouch. There's too many. Mitt Romney's on the way out, so I was going to say Mitt Romney's still there, but no, he's on the way out right now as well. So there's that. We had there are so many different Republicans, I mean, that just walked away from conservative values when Donald Trump came in, because for whatever reason they had their beef with Donald Trump. And now there's an entirely different party. It almost seems like we're a brand new party than what we were back in 2016, just 8 years ago. A little bit different party than what we had seen just 4 years ago. Now, that's not to say that we don't still have a lot of moderate, wishy-washy rhino Republicans in Congress, because we absolutely do. In fact, that's why we can't get any legislation done in the House of Representatives, because we still just have a one-vote majority, and there's 10 to 15 to 20 of them that vote with Democrats. So when Hakeem Jeffries came out and said that they essentially run the House of Representatives, even in the minority, it's true, because they have a few Republicans that are willing to work with them on their side, which I'm not against, again, working in a compromised manner, working across the aisle, finding the middle ground. But we don't have that. As I've said multiple times on this program, we don't have that. Working across the aisle, working middle of the road, finding common ground, is Republicans compromising everything to give Democrats what they want. And if Democrats don't get what they want, then they throw a temper tantrum like a little child, and then they just say that Republicans are unwilling to work across the aisle and work with them. It's a ridiculous back and forth that we have to go with. So imagine, if you will, going into this election where we win, I don't know, two or three seats as a majority in the Senate, we win 20 seats again in the House of Representatives, and then we get a Republican presidency. We don't have to worry about overriding vetoes, because we're going to have the majority. We can actually just get the one or two Democrats willing to work across the aisle to get things done, and we can ram through an agenda. We can re-implement the Trump tax cuts again. We can shut down the border. We can begin deporting criminals out of this nation. We can make sure that we have voter election integrity, and we can actually get things done the way that are supposed to be done in this country. We can actually focus on foreign policy and actually stop the madness that we're seeing right now. I'm optimistic. I think that we can do this. On the other hand, though, the other side, they are desperate to try and figure out some type of policy or agenda. There's a piece out of Fox News right here. Imagine, if you will, that we're going into election season right now, and the Democrats finally have to figure out a different candidate. Joe Biden desperate to stay on the ballot. Joe Biden desperate to be that Democrat candidate again, but just not physically able, or at least mentally able, to do so. So what do? They have to find a different candidate. Who's that going to be? Well, we're too late in the game now. I mean, we can't, unless they overhaul the entire primary season and they go into the convention that's in June and just vote somebody else in, which is possible, but highly unlikely. In that case, if that's what's going to happen, they're going to have to remove Joe Biden off the ballot, or at least have the next person in line step up to do it, which is none other than Kamala Harris.
So your voice can be strong. It is, as Alicia said, my mother would say to me, don't you ever let anybody tell you who you are. You tell them who you are. Don't ever carry as a personal burden your capacity to do whatever you dream and aspire to do based on other people's limited ability to see who can do what.
I don't know what she's doing other than trying to be some type of motivational speaker now. She's kind of like Hillary Clinton, where every time she speaks, her poll ratings go down. When she disappears and we don't hear from her forever, then the ratings actually go up for her and people like her. Like, oh, yeah, that one vice president. Yeah, she's all right. She's all right. I haven't heard from her in a while. And then she speaks, we're like, maybe we don't want her. Remember, this is the same presidential candidate that dropped out with 2% of the support back in 2020 because no one liked her and she had no support. And then she somehow made a deal with the Biden team to become the vice president. And every project, every time they've given her something to do, the czar for the border, to handle this, to handle that, it's bombed big time. Her staff leaves her because they don't like her. Every step of the way, she's been a complete disaster. And if Joe Biden steps away from the ticket because he's unable to actually do this, she's the one that has to step up. And imagine how easy it's going to be to demolish her in a general election for 2024. But they don't have anybody else. They don't have anybody else. The desperation continues for the other side. And it's kind of sweet, sweet music to my ears. Back at it again tomorrow for the middle of the week on a Wednesday. Until then, be your own voice of reason. Get ready for election season. Let's start preparing those phone calls, those phone banks, those knocking on doors, being that catalyst in your own community. And we're going to do it right here on the Voice of Reason. Until then, be your own voice of reason. I'm Andy Hoosier. We'll see you on the radio. Bye.